Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The prophet Isaiah cried out, "Woe to them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." Here is a prophetic witness from the Old Testament concerning a grave error and a sin that continues today, but has found its worst and most heinous example in the gospel that we've heard this day from St. Luke. People were standing by as Jesus was casting out a devil, readied with the accusation, "He casts out demons by the power of Satan." Both Matthew and Mark, the other synoptic gospel accounts, record the same occurrence where Jesus was casting out a demon. And as St. Mark tells us, the people were a special delegation of scribes who had come from Jerusalem to utter their accusation and confuse those who witnessed the wonder. We ought to recognize that there is no reason for the scribes to have come all the way from Jerusalem to Galilee apart from a mission to destroy Jesus. They came for a fight. And that should sound familiar to your ears in the season of Lent, because we spoke a few weeks ago about how Jesus going into the desert to be tempted by Satan, how that was a perfect illustration of the spiritual realm, even the spiritual life, and especially the season of Lent, how it is a fight. So the scribes have come out for a fight and have decided to use as their weapon an idea that they probably thought was a pretty good one for sullying the waters of Jesus' ministry, confusing the people in any way that they could. They accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, or Beelzebub. By the power of Satan, he casts out demons. That is not just an accusation. That is a dangerous reversal warned about by the prophet Isaiah. A completely upside down and backwards thing to say. They called good evil. And this is significant. At the end of this interaction with the scribes, after Jesus handles this perfect lie in both Matthew and Mark, Jesus mentions something that many a scrupulous heart has been concerned about over the last many centuries after he said it. He mentions an unpardonable sin, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Jesus has come to set men and women free. Sometimes he revealed this by healing and doing other miracles, by casting out demons, perhaps the clearest illustration that he was at work on a deeper level than the local physician. With great ease, he cast out demons, and this surprised people who witnessed those exorcisms. And when Jesus was at work casting out evil and setting men free from spiritual bondage, it was all good. And not only was it good, but as Jesus says, it was by the finger of God. And that ought to ring a bell for those of you who know your Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, when the plagues, especially the third plague, befell the Egyptians, that of flies, the Egyptian magicians tried by dark arts to imitate the creation of flies, and when they could not, they professed to Pharaoh that Moses and Aaron were for real. And the way they said it, "Moses and Aaron are doing this by the finger of God." And now Jesus is accused of doing his miracles by the power of the Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub. He was casting out demons with ease by the finger of God, and the scribes say something purely evil. He casts out demons by the prince of demons. He's casting out demons by Satan. They were not just saying that evil is good and good is evil. They were saying that the supreme and purest form of good, Jesus Christ himself, was not good. He was a servant operating by the power of the purest form of evil. After he shows them their silliness, that a house divided cannot stand, he warns them that to call the work of God evil is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And all things could be forgiven a man except for that. And does that not send shivers down the spine? To say that the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, as we confess each Sunday in the Nicene Creed, who regenerates us from death and sanctifies us and makes us one with Christ, to say that his work of salvation is evil, is demonic. To say that the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the flies is to exclude yourself from salvation. How can you be forgiven? How can God come to dwell in you and you in him? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit and fed by the Holy Spirit when you've denied the power of God who forgives, when you've called his Holy Spirit Satan? The unpardonable sin is called unpardonable because it is a sin that refuses the grace of God, which is the pardon of God. But the unpardonable sin is only part of a greater reality Jesus communicates, a more basic reality that Jesus points out to his adversaries. He says, a strong man is perfectly safe in his own house with all his goods when he's there. But when one stronger than him comes, everything he has can be divided up as spoils. He is overcome. This is what casting out demons meant. And this is why Jesus could do it so easily. Satan had a hold of these men's and women's lives because he was more powerful than them. He was in his palace there, and no one could challenge his ownership in a sense. There's a reason they call it possession. But when Jesus comes, one stronger than the strong man is present. And that person can be set free. And Satan's possession is no longer a possession. And Jesus says to the scribes that standing in your midst is one stronger than all evil. Even the evil that you have just spoken. And you had better not be confused. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. There is the heart of the message. This is what is behind the unpardonable sin talk. He that is not with me is against me. Jesus' mission is a spiritual one, and in the spiritual world there is no neutrality, no middle ground. You cannot get away with calling Jesus evil. You can't even get away with calling Jesus neutral or a really nice guy. In the context of what Jesus is saying here, if you think that Jesus is just a wonderful teacher, a wonderful man who told stories and was perhaps good with children, but that he's not the Son of God, not the supreme good of the universe, and not a savior, then you're against him. You're not for him if this is all you believe. And this is how Jesus spoke of himself, saying that he is vastly stronger than the strongest evil. And if this is not true, then he's a terrible teacher. His stories are useless and wicked. And it doesn't matter if he's good with kids because he is a liar, perhaps even the chief liar. He does cast out demons by the Father of lies if what he says is not true. But it is true. And he is stronger than sin and death and Satan and hell. And that's why we're here this morning, Lord willing. And this is what the scribes and the Pharisees and the people and the disciples and everyone in the world in America and Greenville and Simpsonville and we need to know. He is the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Savior. If you're not for him, you're against him. In the world today, even in the church, we often see the iniquity of our world and yawn. We're getting used to it. We sometimes are willing participants, even at times becoming convinced that some evils are now good and some good things are now evil. And we live in a culture that's become increasingly comfortable with calling Christianity an evil. And in Isaiah's words, our world calls Jesus bitter and truth darkness. In the midst of the pressure to conform to cultural pressure, some Christians wish to take a step back from the faith and perhaps rest in a more neutral territory. The message for us today from our Lord is that he has come into the house of the strong man and has overcome him and set us free. But we are not free now to meander and dawdle in the spiritual life. We are to be ever more and more converted to him. We're meant to stand in this freedom and follow in his footsteps. The Christian life is not a waiting room. It's a workshop. If you're not against him, then you should be getting down to work, joining him, and doing his will and his work. And a woman cried out to Jesus, "Blessed is your mother who bore you." And he responded, "True." But even more true and good is this saying, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.